Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. Thank you, Pastor Keith, for leading us, and we so appreciate you guys. I thank you all for being here today. It's a good day. It's a good day to be in church. It's a good day to be together, and it's fun, isn't it, to be a part of the body of Christ? You know, it's fun. I hope you realize it. It's a good time to be together. And we need each other, right? And I so appreciate that. We need one another. We need to help each other. We need to lift each other up. And it's fun because I love how God's word aligns with his spirit today. And you'll see why in just a minute. We're taking our summer through Ephesians. We're kind of spending the time together in the book of Ephesians, and it's been a really good learning experience, I think, for all of us as we're going through each and every chapter, just kind of dividing it and digging deep and really just trying to dissect what is in there for us to glean and to learn. And so as we're in chapter 4 this morning, we're going to do something that we haven't done the last couple three weeks, is that we're going to split up chapter 4, because as I was going through it, I'm like, there's way too much in chapter 4 to get through all in one Sunday. And so either you guys would have to be here for about an hour or so and listen to me speak, which is just grueling and brutal to listen to me for more than an hour or more than a half hour. I decided to split up chapter 4. So we're gonna be in chapter 4 from verses 1 through 13 today. So if you want to grab your cell phones, grab your Bibles, it'll be on the screen as well. We want to just kind of dive deep in understanding that, you know, when Paul has kind of spent the first three chapters explaining the mystery and explaining of the idea of God's eternal purpose for his church, and how he is working out in history of what God has done. He's given us a glimpse as he prayed for the church, his converts, his church, and especially us as well in the future. But in chapter 4, he's giving us these practicalities now. He's kind of moving from the past of here's what God has done to here's what we are called to do as Christians. The practices, the practicalities, if you will, of living out this spiritual reality. And so I want to take a look. We're just going to read through 1 through 13 this morning, and then we'll dig deep. Chapter 4, as prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Verse 8, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all of the heavens in order to fulfill the whole, to fill the whole universe. Verse 11. So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So there's some deep stuff in there. I mean, there's some rich stuff that Paul is sharing. And so we want to think about the unity, the maturity in the church. Building bridges is kind of the title of the sermon. Building bridges, not walls. You know, building each other up, building those bridges to connect one another in the bonds of unity. It's like understanding that building a bridge just like Jesus did, completely humble. Verse 2, it says, be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with each other in love. Make every effort. Somebody say every effort.
Every effort.
Every effort. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You see, church, these are the core Christian values. Paul's simply saying these are the core Christian values. Humility, their first one. Humility. It's not surprising that he begins this list with humility. That's the sort of attitude that Jesus displayed, right? Jesus himself was a humble person. He was a humble shepherd. He was a humble leader. Jesus displayed this ultimate humility, becoming a human being. In fact, the word that he uses is actually humility of mind. And so that's an attitude that we should have that recognizes the worth and the value of other people around us. Just being humble of mind or humble of heart. Because I believe that he uses this, it's the essential to unity. It's essential for us to be unified as a church, as Christians, to be humble, not thinking of ourselves better than anyone else. Another word that he describes is gentleness, right? This word gentleness, it's a tricky word. It's understood sometimes as weakness. This isn't weakness. The word gentle isn't weak, but more like meekness. It's this the quality of moderation. I looked it up, and Aristotle described it as the mean between being too angry and never being angry at all. So this word gentle or meekness. Another thought of this word gentle is like an oxen or a bull or a workhorse. That being like restrained strength, right? That's what gentle means. Gentleness is strength, but it's restrained and it's under control. It's the characteristic of a strong personality who doesn't let their strength control them or others around them, right? It's that gentleness. And you notice that Paul uses humility and gentleness to kind of go hand in hand. Matthew chapter 11, verses 29, it simply says, "I am gentle and lowly at heart." Jesus described himself. And so Jesus was this great, meek, gentle, humble person. And so Paul continues and talks about patience. He talks about patience. The next two characteristics, they form this natural pairing. Patience, long-suffering. This is the attitude towards aggravating people. like when people are aggravating to you, or it's that attitude of patience toward others. And of course, he rounds out this list in Ephesians chapter 4 with love. This is more of the quality that takes in all of them at once. And so when we're building bridges with one another in the church, in unity, we're building bridges in patience, humility, gentleness, love. And you'll see these characteristics all throughout Scripture as great qualities of Christians that want to build unity, build each other up, build a church in love and humility. So these are these are the make or break efforts, I think, to live in unity as far as what Paul's talking to the church. So let me ask the question, what ones of those do you lack? Like out of this list, where are you at? I mean, are there some where you're just like, yeah, I struggle with one or two of those versus the other? I mean, think about it. Take your own spiritual temperature this morning. Maybe there's a couple in there, they're like, yeah, I'm just not patient with people. Or my gentleness isn't very gentle. Where are you at? Paul continues on in verses 4-6. And I like to look at this as like building the bridge of oneness. Building the bridge of oneness. 4-6. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And so there's something about this oneness that we are called to as we see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. See, these are shared experiences that binds us together in unity. Now, the central theme that Paul is emphasizing is so important, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We are one in the body of Christ. Disagreements are inevitable among us, right? Among people, amongst Christians, amongst different churches. There's going to be disagreements, but though these core values, we can strive for unity that transcends all of our differences, right? I mean, it's that make every effort in unity, forgiveness, oneness. And so we see that we need to build a bridge of oneness. And so next is verses 7 through 12, building the bridge with the diversity of gifts. This is where this passage really excites me. I love this passage because it's just practical. I've said this 100 times before, but I love Paul because he's a practical writer, he's a practical teacher, and he loves to give lists. Let me read it again, verse 7 through 12. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Jesus Christ apportioned it. This is why it says when he ascended on high, took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does it mean when he ascended? It means that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He just became Jesus, became a man. Verse 10, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And so as we see Paul describing these certain gifts, our unity is enriched and it's built up by the diversity of God-given gifts in the church. I mean, if you look at the great diversity of people and the gifts and personality types in every given church, you might go, wow, that's crazy that we all can move and work together, and it can be difficult. But you see, Jesus Christ has given these gifts for a reason, to build and equip each other up. And so as you see these differences, I liken to some of these gift sets like a jigsaw puzzle, right? This jigsaw puzzle of a church, like each person has its own part to play. Every one of you have your own part to play. And so here's the list: apostle, pastor, shepherd, teacher. These are all the equipping gifts. These are all those gifts that God may have placed within you to help build unity, maturity, and build up each other in the church. Now, I love this list because the apostle, pastor, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, it's kind of a cool thing to me. Like, I really feel like there's something about all of us who are different, right? God has created us differently. He's all given you an ability. And it's really kind of up to us to figure this out. I'm going to show you a video, something that may help you out a little bit and kind of seeing maybe this could be similar to something that we're talking about today. Let's play that video.
You nervous?
Who are you? For your test?
No, I was terrified.
The only way our society can survive is for each of you to claim your rightful place. Today, you will take a test that will help you discover who you truly are. The future belongs to those who know where they belong. You ready?
This isn't real.
Your results were inconclusive.
This was supposed to tell me what to do. We're supposed to trust the test.
The test didn't work on you. They call it divergent.
See the movie trailer from Divergent, right? You may or may not have seen this movie. But the idea here is that every single person in their society had to go through this testing period to figure out who they are, or what they do, or what they are. And so, great movie, fun movie, great, like just huge. And I've always thought of this way as there's something a little bit close to the Bible in this, just a little, But thinking that we are all different, we are all gifted differently in order to be used for our society. And see, the fun part is that we don't act like this in the church. We rarely act like this in the church. Now we're not necessarily talking about divergent, we're talking about the Bible. But you see, the apostle, the pastor, the evangelist, the shepherd, the teacher, guess what? I am only one. I'm an apostle. I mean, so in the movie Divergent, they literally sent these people with their own gifts, their own abilities, their own way of life, and they sent them off to do their thing separately to accomplish what a society needs to be accomplished. In the church, we say the pastor has to be all five, and we'll pay him a paycheck. Now, what? Wait a minute. I don't see that in Ephesians chapter 4. I don't see that in the Divergent film. Sorry, I'll stop. That's not Bible. Let's get to the Bible. Paul's talking about the apest. We call this the apest. A-P-E-S-T. Guess what, church? I'm just the A. And there are pastors in this building today. There are evangelists in here this morning. There are shepherds among us. And there's teachers in this church. And you see, what happens is that we've got it all wrong. And the church has just been so accustomed to say there is one pastor, one apostle, one evangelist, one shepherd, one teacher, and that's embodied in this one man standing before you this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one man on the face of the earth that's ever been all five. And his name is Jesus. And I am not that man. And so this is the interesting part of the Word of God, you guys, that we have to grab a hold of. That you look at me, that you say, you've got to be our pastor. You've got to be the evangelist too. And by the way, you will shepherd us and teach us. And I look at myself going, man, I'm a loser. I am such a loser. And the devil comes knocking on my door. Man, there's people leaving your church because you're such a loser. You're disappointing people because you're such a loser. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing because you're such, you get my point. You see where I'm coming from. And this isn't a sermon about me, folks. This is a sermon about how the church needs to run and function. Because sometimes we get it wrong. It's me and you. It's not us. And I want to be a biblical church. I want to be a church that's biblical. I want to be for you all to recognize the fact that I'm just the A. That I'm just the person I'm just the apostle. That's how God has gifted me. And you may be asking, well, how do you know? Well, thanks for asking. There's these really fun assessments online. It's called Fivefold Ministry, fivefoldministry.com or .org, one or the other. It's Fivefold Ministry. And so it's a simple evaluation. You just take the test. I've had our board go through it this week. I've had our ministry leadership team go through it this week. So they are all familiar with the APEST. And so if you're interested, if you're curious, it's just you got to fill out your email and you take this a few minutes out of your day and you try to figure out, well, what am I? You know that the fun part of when I assessed the board this week and I assessed the ministry leadership team, guess what? We all got different results. Imagine that. And as I was reviewing, I'm thinking, wow. And even someone said, I won't reveal who it was, but like, wow, this shocked me. I can't believe I came up with this. Because you guys, you are not being utilized in your gift set. I really don't want to go, for those of you who love that movie, you know, isn't it like they have to prick their finger or do something and put something in the bowls or a blood test to see who, I don't remember. I don't want to go through that. in the movie, they all have to figure out who they are. And of course, the main character of the movie is, it's a movie, but she's the one who has them all, right? So she's like the savior of all. And great movie. But I'm not that. And so, church, I'm just trying to help us through Ephesians chapter 4 when Paul says, listen, there are pastors, there are evangelists, there's apostles, there's shepherds, there's teachers. And God has gifted me to go. God has gifted me to go without fear, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people without fear. That's who God has gifted me with. I'm really not good at the shepherding piece. My mercy gift is just like way low. And I'm like, God, I'm a loser. And God keeps reminding me and saying, no, that's just who I made you. I've given you other people in your church to take the reins in that area. And so I'm asking you the question today, do you accept the fact that I'm not all five and that you have the giftedness within you to make ministry happen in this zip code, in that zip code, in the five different school districts that we represent here in the church? You see, I believe that it stems from history, the realization how the church has become the way the church has become. Do you know, it hadn't been until 1943, that Catholics were not allowed to read their own Bible. Priests were the only ones. They were eligible or godly or equipped enough to decipher the Bible to y'all common folk. 1943. You see, there's something about anyway, you get my point. Church, you are able, through the power of the Holy Spirit filling you, to utilize your gifts for the ministry of the kingdom of God. You see, these are all gifts with the same purpose of unifying and building each other up. My last thought this morning is we've got to build that bridge of maturity. Verse 13, Paul writes this. He kind of concludes our thoughts this morning in verse 13. He says, until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So my thought is church, we want to be a mature church. Like every single person in here today, those people who are watching online, we're called to be mature in our faith. Now, we don't need to go around and say how many years you've been a Christian here today. Like we could go around and say, yeah, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been in the church forever. I was raised and born in the church. I'm sure we'd have a lot of great testimonies. But I want to be mature in Scripture. And I want to be doing and practicing Scripture the way that we're supposed to be doing and practicing and whatever it takes. So if we're to achieve unity, as Paul describes, this is what we should be striving for, is to mature, to grow up. The body of Christ is being built up until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And so we are to do our part, church. We're to do our part. That's why I love when Keith comes up and he just says, oh, Holy Spirit's moving, and I'm going to do something that's off script. I mean, Devin does that, and a lot of you just say, God, I'm going to use my gifts right now, and God is moving, and the Spirit is moving. You see, that's what it's about, church. It's not about just sitting back and relaxing and enjoying the show. It's saying, how can I minister in God's kingdom? How can I be used? What are the gifts that God has given you? So I challenge you to challenge yourself. Really, challenge yourself to say, I need to stop being a pew sitter. Now I'm beating you up, so just hold on. just don't sit, but I want to say, how can God use me in the kingdom, right? If you ask yourself that. Like, out of the APES, the fivefold ministry. Now, I'm not saying that everyone is supposed to have these gifts. That's another chapter of the Bible about spiritual gifts. But maybe there's a lot of you in here today are just sitting on your hands and saying, nah, I don't know. I really don't want to use my gifts for the service of God. I don't know what it is. So we need to build bridges today. Build bridges so that the kingdom of God will advance through this church. So my challenge for you this morning, my challenge out of Ephesians chapter 4 is to take your own spiritual temperature today and say, am I a person who's building walls up? Say, no, I like my own little comfort zone here. Or am I building bridges? Am I going to do something? I encourage you to take that online evaluation. It's fun. Love to talk about it with you. If you're confused, if you're not sure, I would love to talk about it with you. Because we want to equip you. We want you to be educated to equip other people. And so, Lord, we thank you for Ephesians chapter 4. Lord, we thank you for this call to ministry that we all have. Lord, I thank you that I'm not a loser. But Lord, you've just gifted me in a different area than some. I thank you, God. I'm just one piece of the puzzle. And just because I stand up here doesn't make me better than anybody else. So Lord, today I thank you for those people who are going to be risen up in the power of your Holy Spirit to do the ministry, to equip, so that this church could just minister far beyond what this apostle can ever do. Raise up shepherds. Raise up pastors. Raise up teachers. Raise up evangelists. Raise up apostles, oh God, for your glory, for your kingdom. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.